Lord, would you look into my secret place? Is there any competition there? Are there any rival thrones on my heart that's preventing me to serve and to love only you? If there are, would you pour your love in me to wash them out?
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Well, happy Friday, and welcome to Love Never Fails. Today, Pastor Bill completes his First John series, Real Life, with the conclusion to the message, Our Great Assurance. Now, Pastor Bill.
What happened to her? She died. If that happened right now, we wouldn't have any in the church. You know, I didn't mean that in a bad way. So what is the sin leading to death? How about this one? Is it hating your brother? Listen, what does it say in 1 John chapter 2, verse 9 and through 11? It talks about if you hate your brother, you abide in darkness. If you hate your brother, you walk in darkness. You don't even know where you're going. Darkness has blinded your eye. Chapter 3, verse 13 through 15, it says, he who does not love his brother abides in death. And he is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him, that John writes. Now, so what do you do? What do you do when you don't have an answer? You can't read the Bible like a newspaper. I'm just going to, what's the events, what's happening today? You've got to get into the Word of God, study the Word of God, and go back to why it was written. Amen? So when you're in doubt and you don't have an answer, it doesn't mean that you will find sometimes the answer, but at least you might, and you might come close to at least having peace about what you're thinking about. So here's what I do. When I don't have an answer, all right, I'll go back and I'll look, okay, I will know again. Why was it written? Why was it written? Give me the historical application. What was going on? Now, did you notice about the sin leading to death and the sin not leading to death? Did you notice that he gave us a lot of information? He didn't give us any information. Amen? Okay, and so there's so little information, there's so little explanation, so here's what I have to assume, and I believe I'm right when I say this, and I could be wrong, I'm just, for me, and that is, since there is so little information, so little explanation, I have to assume that the readers of John's epistle knew what he was talking about. Doesn't that make sense? Or they would be just as confused as we are. And so, you know, let me give an example from my, let me just read it to you. An example in 2 Thessalonians here. Let me read. It says, now, brethren, Paul writes, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, our gathering to him, we ask that you shouldn't be shaken in mind or troubled either by spirit. And he says, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. The man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition who opposes, exalts himself above all that is called God or worship, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Here it comes. Do you remember that when I was with you, I told you those things, okay? And now you know what is restraining that he may be revealed. Well, Paul told them something that we don't get. Amen? He says, don't you remember what I told you when I was with you the last time? Well, that's the same thing, loved one, that's happening, I believe, right here in this area. So do you remember the first sermon I preached on 1 John? Of course you don't. Now, I said, very important, for us to get a full grasp on 1 John, we have to know why it was written and the purpose. And it was written, loved one, remember, because of the false teachers, right? Yes. And so is there anything in 1 John that points to the sin that leads to eternal death? Yes. And what is it? It's the denial of the incarnation, meaning that Jesus is not God. He is not man, remember? And that is what the Gnostics were doing. Amen? Listen, the sin that was committed by the false teachers, they claimed to be Christians, but they weren't Christians. Do you understand? The Gnostics were not believers, loved one. They weren't saved. That's why in 1 John 2:26, what he says, I write these things to you who are trying to deceive you. Deceive them about what? The incarnation. That Jesus is man, Jesus is God, and so forth. Now, listen, look at verse 22 of chapter 2. It says, who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ, meaning fully God, fully human, perfect God, perfect man, okay? He is Antichrist, not capital A, lower A, Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. That was the ultimate lie of the Gnostics, okay? Now, it says, he who denies the Son doesn't have the Father. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. So I believe, personally, that is the sin that is leading into death. Man, listen, to deny that will take you to hell. Amen? All right. Look at verse 18. Now, he's going to use that word, oida, again. We know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, certain assurance, we know that whoever is born of God does not what? Okay, does not practice a lifestyle of sin. But listen, but there's another reason he penned that. It was because of what the Gnostics were teaching. They were teaching that, you know, if you sin, don't worry about the body. The body's worthless to God. You remember? And so they practiced antinomianism. They could just live any way that you want to. Now, so it says, but he who has been born of God keeps himself. Literally, it is Christ who keeps him, okay? You can't keep yourself, believe me. It says, it's Christ who keeps him, and the wicked one does not what? Touch him. So we have an enemy. He's like a roaring lion. He's always seeking a victim. Did Jesus defeat him? Hebrews 2, what, 14, did he strip him who had the power of death? Absolutely, the devil. Now, so the devil, he's a defeated devil, by the way. Now listen, he cannot harm you. Can he tempt you? Yes. Can he oppress you? Yes. Can he possess you? Never, never. But you know what you can do, though? You can do an Ephesians 4:27. Give no opportunity to the devil. Amen? In other words, the word opportunity means a door. Boy, listen, darkness loves the doors of opportunity, okay? And so you can open a door for him. Don't do that. Or you can believe his lies because you're not into the Word of God, and he loves to attack the mind. So what do? You have to do something. You have to know the Word of God. 2 Corinthians what? Chapter 10, verses 3 through 5 or 6. You know, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down every imagination that exalts itself above the Word of God. Amen? So you take his lies that try to attack your mind and you cast them down because you know the Word of God. Amen? So there's a way. Another way to be defeated is to never, never, no, never understand Ephesians chapter 6, 11 and following, where it says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might and put on the whole his armor, not your armor. God says, my armor is what you need to keep him defeated. Amen? So we have all these things. Now, but the wicked one, it says, he can't grip you. It says, it does not touch you, can't lay hold upon you. And the reason, we have the greatest guardian in all of the world. His name is Jesus Christ. He is our Lord. And that no one, no nothing, not anyone is able to snatch you out of his hand. Amen. John 10, 28 and 29. No one can take you out of his hands. And look at verse 19. And there's that word again, oida. You know, we know absolutely, assurance that we know that we are of God. And the world, the Antichrist system doesn't want God, doesn't recognize God. The whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Did you notice your position? We are of God. I wonder why that doesn't explode right now in our hearts. Listen, we are of God. The creator of all things is our Father. He loves us so much, he sent Jesus to die for us. Amen? Listen, we are of God. Man, we are not of this world. We are of God. And God says, do you have that kind of assurance in your life right now? That great assurance that God is your Father? And not only that, loved one, that God loves us. We're his children. 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love God has bestowed upon us, that he has called us the children of God. The children of God. That love that he's poured out upon us. Oh boy, God loves us. In the world's position, It says, we're of God, but the rest of mankind. It says, what do they do? They're lying in the sway or the grip of the wicked one. That word there, lies under the sway. The word lies literally means in the Greek, lies asleep. The whole world lies asleep, meaning a state of unconsciousness. They are asleep. They are unconscious. They are unaware. They are out cold, the world right now. The world that's against God, the Antichrist system that's already in place. Loved one, they have no idea that they're being rocked continually to sleep in the arms of Satan himself. That's what the Word of God teaches, and they don't know it, nor would they believe it. And you know why? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Let me read it to you. It says, whose minds the god of this age, that's Satan, the god of this age has blinded, that mental spiritual blindness. It says, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them and they be born again. Satan's blinded their minds. He snatches the word of God out of their hearts, loved one. Listen, no matter how much this world seems to improve, it only seems to improve. The world, man gets more wicked, more evil, more evil. Amen? There's no way around it. The entire world right this minute that's against God, and that's the majority of the world, okay? That system that's in place is anti-Christ, is anti-God, doesn't want God, doesn't recognize God, and doesn't want any area of their lives dependent upon God. That's the world that we live in. Now, listen very carefully. He's coming. I don't know when. The Antichrist, the wicked one, amen? And you know what the Bible says in Revelation 12:9? It says this. He's going to deceive the entire world. One man, the son of perdition, the man of lawlessness, if you will, the man of sin, the man who loves sin. Man, he's coming. And it's going to deceive the whole world. Matter of fact, Revelation 13:3, it says, all the world will marvel after him and follow him. It says in Revelation 13:8, all who dwell on the earth, it says, will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. The world doesn't have much to look forward to, do they? But do we? Amen. Look at our greatest assurance in verse 20. This is a verse that we could spend 3 Sundays on, loved one. It says in 5:20, watch it now. And we know, there's that oida, that absolute knowledge, that divine assurance living in us right now. We know that the Son of God has come. He was sent by God into this world. That's the incarnation. That's deity with a human body. That is the God-man, what the Gnostics denied. God sent him into the world. Amen? But listen to me. He's coming back. He may come back today. We don't know. And look what he did. Oh, the Son of Man, he's come, and look what he's done for us. He's given us an understanding. In other words, illumination, inspiration, if you will. What is understanding about what? Here it comes. That we may know. Now, this is gnosko now. In other words, that we may know personally, intimately, experientially, that we may know him who is true. Praise God. The one who is true. Jesus, the one who is leading us into all truth. John 8:32, you shall know the truth. The truth will set you free. Amen. It says, oh, and watch this one. Look at this. I love it. We are in him right now. We're in him right now who is true, who is real. Who is that? In his Son, Jesus Christ. He is alive in every one of God's children. The founder of Christianity is in his followers. Amen. He right this minute. Oh, and he says, and this is true. This is the true God, the real God, and eternal life. No one can bestow eternal life but God. And he is our Father. Is there any greater assurance than that? No, it says, we know that the Son of God has come. You know what Philip said about that, about the incarnation? Here's what he said. He said, oh, let 10,000 false teachers arise to deny it. The truth remains, the Son of God has come. He has come, and he's opened up all of our hearts. He's given us divine illumination and divine understanding. We don't need the secret gnosis. Amen? Remember from the Gnostics? We don't need no gnosis, whatever you call it. That secret knowledge. No. We have our greatest assurance right here because we are already in Him who is true. We have the true reality. We have the true, the only real Savior, Jesus our Lord. We have real life because we have now eternal life. And we are so secure in Him, no one can ever snatch us out of His hand. Amen? Oh, what the assurance is. Now, with all that being said, no wonder John closes in verse 21 with a warning that is given to every generation of Christians, okay? In verse 20, he just told us about the true God of the Bible, and now he's going to warn against the false because of the false teachers and all that they were doing. Verse 21, loved one, might be the very last verse ever penned in the New Testament. It might be. Here it comes. Little children, what's that next word? Keep, guard. It means keep guarding yourself. It's a command, okay? Guard like a military soldier, if you will. Keep yourselves, guard yourselves. That's your personal responsibility. Guard yourselves from idols. Amen. Now listen, if you have to guard yourself every day in your Christian life, that means someone is trying to steal something precious from you. Amen. So we're to guard our hearts. We're to run away from anything that's going to try to steal Jesus out of our hearts or to wander away from our Savior. That's why one of the foundational scriptures of this church, why we exist. You know, we have the Great Commission. We have the New Commandment, which, you know, of course, love never fails. But we also have the Great Commandment. When Jesus said we are to love the Lord thy God with how much of our heart? All of our heart. And did he go all our strength, all of our mind? Did he keep? Why? Because Jesus knows if he doesn't have all of your heart, there's an open door for something else. Amen? He knows that. That's why he says, oh, listen, love God with all of your heart, all of your strength, all of your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. See, that great commandment is not an option. It is that's wisdom from our God. He says, you've got to guard yourself. You've got to protect yourself. You guard your heart. Proverbs 4:23, it says, keep or guard, protect your heart with all diligence. That means above everything else in your life, guard your heart. Why? For out of it, out of your heart, spring or flow the issues of life. See, idols, we don't have a statue of a football in our house or anything. But, you know, we don't worship bugs. Well, we worship self, but, you know, idols lead a Christian away from the will of God. Idols, loved one, they lead you away from true, real living, real life. You got to beware of the old man. He's an idol worshiper. Did you know that? You know what I mean by the old man? The old Billy, you know, bad Billy, you know, that who was a lover of self. He didn't know that, but he was a lover of self more than lover of God, lover of pleasure more than lover of God. He likes idols. He loves self. Yeah, I mean, you know, I was watching a movie yesterday. I've never watched a movie on my iPhone. I was watching because I was looking for something in a movie. It was, you know, you probably have never seen it because you're too young, but it was the original Count Dracula. You know, when he comes to Dr. Helsing, Van Helsing, you think you're strong. Remember, you know. And so, remember Helsing, he reaches in there and Dracula goes, is it Wolfbane again? And he pulls out the cross. Remember? No, you don't. Remember, he goes, I remember he cut the cape and he flies out like a bat with a string holding the, remember? Yeah, man, this is a great movie, man. I grew up with that. Well, so, you know, that's what we have to do to the old man. We've got to put the crucifix right through that guy, okay? Because he's going to lead you in all kinds of stuff. You got to put him to death, loved one, and you guard your heart. We have to do something else. You have to guard your eyes. Psalm 119:37, turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things. Isn't that the truth? Listen to me. On any given night today, I mean, I enjoy watching certain things on TV. You know, like Day Tripper. Thank you. You know, I mean, on any given night, though, you can, if you just watch TV, if you just watch Netflix, whatever it's called, for just one hour, you can witness nearly every sin mentioned in the Bible. Come on. Yeah. Well, listen, you will see more than my dear grandmother saw in her entire life. Of course, they only had little tiny TVs back then, and they went off. Remember how they went off? They play the never mind. All right, let's wrap this up now this morning, this last sermon. You know, the church, they have idols. Did you know that? You know, I mean, anytime you add to the good news, anytime you add to the gospel, you know what you do? You then subtract from the gospel. In other words, here's an idol. Water baptism saves you. And if you are not baptized in this particular church, you're not saved. Even though the church only started a few hundred years ago, I mean, you know, everybody else has been lost, I guess. That's an idol. You know, you have to earn your salvation. No, that's false teaching. That's another idol, but they believe it. You know, or how about a 21st century idol in the church? Well, Christians today believe that hearing is the same as doing. Hearing a sermon is the same as doing. No, it's not. James 1:22, you don't want to be deceived, do you? Be you doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So there's many of those things that, listen, an idol, loved one, is basically this today. Whatever calls the shots in your life, whatever you trust more than God, anything that you know you just prize more or whatever in your life, if it's not our Lord, then you can find that's probably some kind of thing trying to creep into your heart. You know, I believe that right now, that if there's anything in our heart, I believe that God loves us so much. I believe that Jesus, who is here, who loves us so much, if we would say, Lord, if we just say, Lord, would you look into my secret place? Is there any competition there? Are there any rival thrones on my heart that's preventing me to serve and to love only you? If there are, would you pour your love in me to wash them out? Because I want to love the Lord thy God with all of my heart. Because I know that if I do, no one can steal me away from you. Father, in Jesus' name, we submit to you right now, Lord. We finish this great epistle. Lord, you know our hearts. You know our secret place. You know what we trust in, what we look to. You know, Lord, the things that are there that we depend on that you would say, why don't you just depend on me? That we trust in, and you say, why don't you just trust in me? Lord, that's what we want to do. So in Jesus' name, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, oh gosh, if there's something there, loved one, just say, Lord, pour out your love all over again in my heart and wash away anything, any rival throne that competes with me, loving you and serving you. If that's you, no one looking around, but by faith, you lift your hand and say, yes, that's right. Don't be ashamed. No one's going to see it but God. That's right. Lord, you see the hands. Lord, that's a sign of faith. We don't want anything in this church. We don't want anything in our life, Lord. We want you to fill our hearts and wash out anything that is a rival that's competing for your love and competing, Lord, to take you away. Remove everything from our hearts now. Everything but you. We ask it, we believe it. In Jesus' name.
We pray that Pastor's study through 1 John has been beneficial in your understanding of God's Word. Now, if you missed any of Pastor's study, the entire series is available on the Calvary Chapel Fort Worth app or by visiting our website. My name is Brian Whitaker. For Pastor Bill, we want to thank you for listening to Love Never Fails. We pray that you have a safe and restful weekend. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.